I've often felt that one of the best ways to learn things is when someone else demonstrates how to do things. But if you are a bit like me, I'm slightly impetuous and like to do things in my own way, and very often get in a bit of a tangle when things start to go wrong. If only I'd listened to those who were trying to demonstrate how to do things in the first place. So my fitter, a fitter and turner is an engineer in the dockyard where I worked and in other dockyards. And he, the fitter, used to teach me, of course, as his apprentice, how to file, so many strokes per minute, not too many, how to hacksaw the whole thing. And you had to start from the very beginning. And the best way to learn wasn't just to read it from a book, but he demonstrated it. And then he watched me doing it. And he would tell me, too many strokes per minute, that you're going to burn the blade and it's just not going to work. The blade's off to one, no good. So he demonstrated to me how to do that particular work. What we see unfolding in the readings today is a demonstration of God's extraordinary, lavish and amazing love. And it's not something we just read about, though we do read about it, but he actually demonstrated his love for us. In Romans 5, and verse 8, it says this, that God demonstrates his own love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. If you just read about it, it wouldn't mean anything. But because it is true, it is an event that happened. It's a demonstration of love. And it's a demonstration, most specifically, of God's own love. It's not a demonstration of love, per se. It's a demonstration of God's own love. So he didn't get somebody else to do it. He sent his son, God himself in the flesh, did it and demonstrated his immense, amazing and lavish love for us. And I suspect that's what we need to be aware of and to begin to understand as individuals. That's what draws us, I think, into the presence of God. A sociologist writing a study on parenting asked the mother of 13 children, do you think all your children deserve full, impartial love? Of course, she said, absolutely. And then he tried to catch her. He said, well, which child do you love the most? And the mother said, well, I love the one who is sick until he gets well, and the one who is away until he gets home. And the presumption there, of course, she loved all the others in between because they were in the right place physically and otherwise. But an immense, amazing, lavish love. And this is the picture that we get, I believe, in Romans 5:8, that God loves us and demonstrates his love for us, and that while we were still sinners, God loved us. Christ died for us. This is true, unconditional, immense love. And it derives really from an understanding for all of us that God loved us even before we were really even aware of who he was. So 2,000 years ago when Jesus died on the cross, he loved me. That's the reality. You didn't know me, we didn't know each other, but God knew me. And he died, and he died because he loved me. And others liked me. And that's the truth of God's extraordinary love. Even while we were still sinners, God loved me and he loved you too. And Jesus demonstrated this in many ways through the story of the woman at the well today. This is the second of his kind of encounters. Last week we heard about Nicodemus who came to Jesus at night and began to question Jesus about who he was, recognizing he was something special because of the miracles he was doing, but he didn't understand fully what this meant. Here and today, in this story, we hear of Jesus meeting the woman at the well. She'd gone down to the well at noon, which is the hottest part of the day when most people don't gather, and one suspects she went at that time because she had a bit of a reputation, and so she probably would have been shunned by the people who knew her. We learn about the reputation a bit later in the story when Jesus has a supernatural revelation that she didn't have one but five husbands and all at the same time. So not great, really. But anyway, he didn't actually condemn her for that. He met with her at the well. and allowed this conversation to develop. He was thirsty, she was there, and he asks for a drink. And she, realizing the inappropriateness of this, said, you know, I'm a Samaritan, you're a Jew, you're asking me to get water for you. And Jesus knew exactly what he was doing. And it was all about grace and love. And absolutely demonstrated his love for that woman there and then, giving her an opportunity for her life to unfold before him as he revealed it to her, so that she could come to a place of salvation, which comes up later in the story when she recognizes who Jesus is and begins to tell others about this truth. But first of all, he had to engage with her and speak with her, meet her where she was. And that's the beautiful thing about Jesus. And so he meets with people in their situation, in their lives, in the mess and the problem of life, the sadness, the joy, wherever it is, whatever time of our lives. And he just meets with people. And he wants to draw them unto himself so that they can find salvation and healing for their lives. And it's very interesting because the woman says, Sir, she said to Jesus, if you have nothing to draw with, and this well is very deep, where can you get this living water from? Because that's what Jesus was on about. He was talking about water that wouldn't run out, and you'd have to keep going back to the well for, but something that would be within. She didn't get that at first at all, of course. And of course, she had nothing to draw with at that point either, because she didn't know who the Saviour was. She couldn't draw from him, because the revelation hadn't been given to her. And we all need something of God's revelation in our lives, so that we can draw on him, who is the living water that springs up from within us and feeds us day in and day out. Because the woman said to him, Sir, give me this living water so that I won't get thirsty and have to keep coming here to draw water. He said, go call your husband. And the story unfolds. And she gets embarrassed about all of that and realizes that he must be a prophet or something of that nature. And Jesus then says that the time is coming, he says, when people will come and they will worship in spirit and in truth. Because she was all fixated about, you know, well, we're Samaritans, you're Jews, we worship here, you worship there. But Jesus said, no, there's going to be a new way of worshipping, and it's going to be very special, because the presence of God is going to reside within you, and that's where you will draw from eventually. And that's a demonstration to me of God's extraordinary love, that he chooses to take up residence in people's hearts and in their lives, no matter what sort of people they are. As soon as they make that have that recognition of Jesus as their Saviour, that's it. But he had already demonstrated his love for us on the cross before all of that. Isn't that amazing? God is amazing and quite wonderful. And this woman at the well, she had begun to understand this. And then she becomes a bit of an evangelist, because she goes out, she leaves her water jar, and she's come and see a man who told me everything I ever did. And she says, could this be the Christ? It's beginning to unfold in her mind that there's something very special about all of this. We need revelation, folks. And Jesus reveals himself to us in our lives as we journey together. And sometimes people who haven't known him yet, they will meet him at their own particular well. They'll be drawing water from somewhere else, and Jesus will meet with them, because the water isn't doing them any good. And we all need to be aware this is going on day in and day out. Jesus is meeting with individuals. And we need just really to pray that God's kingdom will come into their lives as well as ours more fully, but into theirs most particularly. Because we want others to know of this immense and amazing love of God, who demonstrated his love for us in this while we were still sinners. Christ died for us. We need to get our minds around that. That despite the sin that's in individuals and in the world, Christ still came to die for us and to take away that sin so that we could have fellowship with him. And as this, as Paul talks in his letter to the Romans, we see that there's something very important happens here First of all, we have peace with God. I don't think everybody's at peace with God because they're not sure which God they're following. They're drawing from the wrong well of life, and they need to find the one who is the Christ. And when you do find him, there's an extraordinary peace that comes upon us, which is hard to explain but wonderful to experience. And that is why God died on a cross in his Son Jesus Christ. We need to be aware of that. So first of all, we have peace, and then we have access through him, through Jesus. We gain access to this amazing grace in which we now stand, an access that the people of God before, so when the temple was around, they didn't have that amazing free access unto God. They just couldn't go. There was only one who went into the Holy of Holies to meet with God and to sacrifice on behalf of the rest of the people. But not everyone could do that. But we have access unto God. What an amazing and wonderful privilege that is. We have access into this grace in which we now stand. And therefore, says Paul, we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. Then he goes on to talk about what this produces within us, the kind of fruit, the outward fruit of being a part of who Christ is, because it produces perseverance, and perseverance character. And it goes on from there. And these are the kinds of things that we need in our lives in order to get through from one day to the next. I need, personally, more of Christ in my life each and every day. And I think that's true for us all. We need very much to keep coming back to him, the one who has placed his very self within me and you, so that we can live for him. God demonstrates his own love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Let us pray.